If you've got a church Bible in front of you, now would be a really good time to pick it up and turn to page 965, because Bart and Angela and Ruth are going to come up and read from Matthew's Gospel, starting at Matthew 1, verse 18.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth." "To a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him."
After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east, when it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him a gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been told in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi.
Well written, guys. Thank you very much. Now, what do you love and hate about Christmas? What do you love and hate about Christmas? Now, in my display here, you're probably already thinking, "Oh, I love that display." Or you're probably thinking, "Oh, isn't that awful? That is so bad." I mean, what is it that we love about Christmas? I mean, here we are. There's a polar bear. I mean, why don't you just love having cuddly polar bears at Christmas time? Yeah? Oh, no. Okay. And what else do we love? We love Santa, don't we? We love Santa at Christmas time. And then we love, this is a bit of a whoops. This is something that creates quite a lot of conflict in our own house. I love Rudolph. And I love this blow-up Rudolph, you see? It just gives me so much joy because every year he comes out. But every year he goes away again pretty quickly because my wife really doesn't like him. But he's wonderful, isn't he? We love Christmas, we love all these things, but actually some of us, we don't like it, do we? Do you know, there was a man in the church who for the first time ever has a Christmas tree. I'm not going to tell you who he is, but he's a Welshman. And he came home one day and his wife had secretly bought a Christmas tree. He didn't like Christmas trees. He hates Christmas trees. And there's also other things. What else do we love about Christmas? We love watching telly, all those wonderful films and stuff that we can watch. We love shopping. And boy, there's a lot of shopping that goes on, isn't there? We like the presents. We like decorating our houses with all sorts of flashy lights. Oops. And of course, Christmas wouldn't be the same, would it, without snow? Well, we might have to make up the snow. So we need a bit of snow. So there's a bit of snow. But it don't work. But we have parties as well, so there's some silly string. We love a bit of sort of parties with string. And, of course, there's the food as well. This is more like a chicken and a dog toy. But we love it, and we love filling our stockings with presents. You know, there's so much we love or hate about Christmas. But if we stripped all that away, would you still love Christmas? Why don't we do that? Let's strip it all away. Come on, we don't want all of this stuff to look at now. We're just going to get rid of it all, okay? Not forever, but just today, just while we think about what Christmas is. Get rid of all the twinkly lights, because actually, there's something else about Christmas. There is a giant present, the greatest gift of all. Now, what is this greatest gift? You see, some people love this greatest gift, but other people are not so sure. You see, what is this great gift at Christmas? And so what we're going to do, I'm just going to spin this around and we can see what the greatest gift is. If we can have this up on the screen, please. The greatest gift is Jesus. The greatest gift is Jesus. You see, some people love Jesus at Christmas time, but other people, they're not so sure, are they? So if I tell you that it's the greatest gift ever, and some people don't like it, then that makes me think, well, do they really know what the greatest gift is? What about you? Do you love Jesus? When you take away all this other stuff, do you love Jesus, the Christmas, the Saviour at Christmas time? Well, let's find out a little bit more about Christmas. In fact, one person would like to come up. Okay, as you come, Sammy. Would you like to pick up that one and show everybody? Okay, careful. Hold it up. Hold it really high. What does it say?
Messiah.
It says Messiah. Do you want to open it up for us? What's inside?
Chocolate.
Chocolates, of course. It's my service, isn't it? Do you want to take one? There we go. So the first one that we're going to learn about is Messiah. The thing that was said to us a long time ago was when those magi were coming from a far distance, they came looking for a king, didn't they? They went to the palace to start with to look for a king. And of course, Messiah is just another word for the promised king. And so they went to the palace looking for the Messiah. But there, they didn't find him. They didn't find him there. No, they had to go and find him in Bethlehem, just as was promised long ago. But then what was promised was that this, in Micah 2, you can see it in your Bibles there in verse 6. But they were promised, weren't they, that it's going to be... Thanks, guys. There we go. Well, they were promised that this king is going to be a great ruler and someone who would shepherd his people. Do you know some great kings of the past? Kings like David shepherded his people. So Jesus is going to be another king, a son of David, one of the ancestors of descendants of David. And he was going to be this promised king. And so as the Magi then got to where Jesus was, they worshipped him. And they worshipped him as if he was a king, because they gave him great gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In fact, they very much loved him, didn't they? They loved this king. Because this king is a good king. Jesus is the good king who rules over all. Now, what do you think about Jesus? Is he the good king that you love? Because Jesus is such a good king. He's so generous and giving, and he gives us protection, and he leads us and guides us just like a good shepherd would. Just think about it. You all have parents, and your parents are good. Your parents love you, and they care for you, and they show you which way to go. Or it's a bit like me with my dog. I have a dog called Jazz, who's a bit dappy. But as I look after her, I try and lead her and care for her and provide for her. But what about your head teachers? They're still as well. They're good for you, aren't they? Because they look after you. They give you rules to obey, and they take you and they teach you, and they do all sorts of good things for you. That's what it means, isn't it, to be a good king? Someone who we look to and love and respect because they do good things for us. And we submit to them and we worship them and we honour them. But what happens if we don't do as they say? What happens to you if you don't do what your parents say? If you don't listen to their good advice? If you refuse to eat the food that they give you? What would happen to you? You might die, or you would suffer, wouldn't you, yeah? You would get told off, that's right, absolutely. And what would happen to my dog? What would happen to my dog if she doesn't obey, which she doesn't very often? You see, she gets into trouble. What would happen if you didn't obey your head teacher? You would get into trouble. And yet, we have a great king, Jesus. We have the good king, the Messiah, promised to save his people. And yet, if we don't obey him, we will be in trouble. And yet people still ignore that Jesus is the king. So even though they don't think that he's their king, actually, the Bible shows us that Jesus really is the king of all. He rules everyone. And so even if they do try to ignore him, he is still the good king who rules over all. And so as we look at this greatest gift, we're now trying to find out the next thing about this great king. So, yes, darling, would you like to come out? You can come and take out this next little gift out of the greatest gift that shows us something about who Jesus is. Right, would you like to hold that up really high? And that says, everybody?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, that's one of the names of God. Would you like to open it up? You never guess what's inside.
Chocolate.
Hey, more chocolate. Grab one very quickly. Well done. Excellent. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, when the angel appeared to Joseph, he talked this verse. He said, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. It says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Jesus is the greatest gift, and it's about God coming to earth, to this world, about God himself being born. What a great journey that was. But what an incredible journey we saw this week. Do you remember that man called Tim Peake? He was an astronaut, and he is an astronaut, and he took off this week in a space rocket shooting up into the sky. What a journey that was. He went in orbit a couple of times around the world and eventually joined up with this great space station that's floating around in our sky, which is as big as a football pitch. It's incredible. And that's where he is now. Now, that is an incredible journey. But nothing like the journey that Jesus took. You see, Jesus is God himself, God in heaven, and the one who created the stars, who created the sun, who created everything. And yet Jesus, as God's son, came down from heaven to become a tiny little seed in Mary's tummy. What an amazing journey that is. And then as we see Jesus growing up, we see that he was one who truly was God because he did the most amazing things. He did things like heal a child who was who died. He'd calmed a storm to show that he had power over creation. He did things like raising a dead man and healing people. And he would call people's names and they would then follow him. He had amazing power and authority. You see, Jesus is the good king who rules over all and the God-man. God come down in a man. And he is the God-man who has all power. Now, if Jesus is God-man with all power and he's good, what an amazing gift that is. And why wouldn't you love him? He's surely the one to trust. If he's got all power and he's good, then you really want to be on his side, surely. But the thing is, at Christmas time, and this is quite difficult, children, there are people who know that Jesus claims to be God, and yet they blame Jesus for the things that may have gone wrong in their lives. Just imagine for you children that maybe your pet is rather unwell and you pray to God and you say, "Dear God, please make my pet get better." And then your pet sadly dies. Do we then feel a bit angry at God? And some adults here, things far worse than that have happened. And maybe we sometimes blame God. God who has all power and yet didn't use it in the way that we wanted. Well, it's important for you to remember that God uses his power in Jesus. He could have done some amazing things on earth. He could have healed every single person in this world. But that wasn't his purpose. His purpose when he came was not just to make everyone better. His purpose was to make us better with God. To build the relationship with us and God. To make that way possible through dying and coming back to life again. Let's look at one more. Here we go. The next one is, who would like to come out now? Come on in. Dad, you come. Sorry, everyone's going to get a sweet later on. So, would you like to take this last box? There you go. What does that one say? It says, Saviour. Saviour. Hold it up really tight. That's it. And would you like to open it for us? What's inside?
Chocolate.
That's a good job. We've got lots of chocolate, isn't there? There's a lot of people here. Good. Let's pop that back on here. Saviour. I'm running out of space. Thank you. Saviour. Now, what does the Bible say about the Saviour? It says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, this is talking, the angel again talking this time to Mary, about Mary. He said, "She will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus." Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. You see, Jesus is the good king who reigns over all, who rules over all. He's the God-man who has power to save all of his people from their sins. Jesus is the Saviour. He's the King, he's God with us, and he is our Saviour. Now, you really shouldn't be doing this, but just imagine that you went for a walk on a frozen lake. And there on that frozen lake, you thought, oh, I'm really clever. I know I shouldn't be doing this, but look at me. Hey, everybody, look. And then suddenly you go through the ice. You need rescuing. And then imagine that a man comes out and says, right, I'm coming to get you. I'm going to rescue you. But then you say to him, do you know what? I quite like it in here. I'm going to ignore you. Okay, I'm just going to be myself. In fact, this is all about just enjoying the moment. So I'm going to enjoy this moment. You'd be crazy, wouldn't you? Or what if you said, actually, I don't need your help. I'm just going to work really hard. I'm going to smash my way through the ice. I'm going to get myself up. And the man might say, well, you can't. No, I'm going to do it hard. I'm going to work hard myself. Or you might say, do you know what? I don't believe you're the rescuer. You say, I don't want to know you because I don't think, I'm going to wait for someone who looks a bit more convincing. I'm going to see if they're the rescuer. Or you could do the amazing thing of just reaching up, grabbing hold of their arm and allowing them to pull you out. That's what we do at Christmas time, isn't it? We look at Jesus who is the Saviour and we look at him and some people will ignore him. They'll love all the Christmas stuff, but when it actually comes to Jesus, they ignore him because they think that it's all about living for now and they don't think they need to be rescued. Other people will feel guilty about the stuff they've done wrong. They realise they need to work hard at trying to get themselves better, but you know what? It's a pretty hopeless situation and they ignore their Saviour. Others will deny that they need saving, or they'll say that, do you know what? I don't think Jesus is the rescuer. I'll wait for someone else, thank you very much. Or they'll follow other religions. But what about you? Will you love Jesus? Will you accept him as your saviour? You see, Jesus is the good king who rules over all. Jesus is the God-man who has all power. And how does he use that power? He uses that power to save his people from their sins. And so, what do you think about Jesus? Are you going to accept him? Are you going to love him? Are you going to welcome him this Christmas into your own heart? Well, if you want to do that, then I would love to chat with you. You know, clear away all the clutter. And look for yourself, what does Christmas really mean to you? And do you love this greatest gift that's been given to you? Do you love him or do you hate him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus into the world as the greatest gift. We thank you that Jesus is God, that he is the one who has come to save. Help us then to turn to you, Jesus, and to look to you to save us. Help us to accept you and not ignore you this Christmas, to love you and not hate you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.